This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
It's not every day that you get to see a full-bodied apparition. You know, when people think of ghosts and ghost hunting, I think quite often that's what comes to mind is you're out there and boom, you just see it. And there it is, like Ghostbusters almost in the library ghost. That's not quite how it usually goes. But in some cases, in some rare cases, it does happen. And when it happens, it can kind of change you. Even if you believe already that this stuff is real, when it's that clear to you, it's reaffirming and it's almost kind of resets, I think, the compass a little bit for how one might look at life. That's what happens in our next story. A listener of ours out with some friends investigating an old asylum. They come face to face with what was probably one of the people who was once institutionalized there, going along their daily path from building to building. Take a listen. Hey, everybody. This is Lexus from Bellingham, Washington. I've called in three separate stories so far, all of which have made it on the air with Harper, and I'm incredibly happy and grateful to be a part of such a supportive paranormal family. I have another story that I wish to share with you about an old mental hospital, farm, and graveyard I've investigated twice now in a town about 30 minutes south of me called Cedro Woolley. I think you'll really find this one interesting. The Northern State Hospital was built over 100 years ago. With acres of farmland and old farm buildings and a cemetery nearby. While the old hospital building has sat abandoned since it was shut down in 1973, it's been closed to the public due to new renovations taking place. However, the surrounding farmland, dilapidated farm buildings, and cemetery all remain open on what's known as a public historical park. In fact, all the buildings people can access and explore from the time of the mental asylum include the following: quarry, lumber mill, barns for farm animals, cannery, milking house, and silo. The cemetery sits not far from the farm, and about a quarter and a half mile away from all these buildings, another couple of completely crumbling structures that I've yet to identify, as they're not shown in the pictures. But one is a two-story building that absolutely fascinates me. They are buried in the trees and shrubs and hard to come across unless you follow a footpath off the main recreational trail. The main reason why I attached a link to this letter is to the website so that one of my experiences occurred literally at the location shown in one of the pictures. Through the cow barn is what the picture is titled. The spot and angle at which this picture was taken pretty much capture the spot where I was standing at 1 a.m. in October of 2020 with two friends staring down at the yellow building at the other end of the barn. Both times that I've visited this location, my friends and I have started through the barn at the other building and have all seen a figure standing near the large doorway at the other end, his silhouette standing out against the opposing building under the moon. This was my first time ever seeing an apparition directly in front of me, clearly. And what was even more chilling was the way this figure seemed to move in and out of the entrance to the second building. One second he's outside against the wall, the next he's shrinking back into the shadows as if he's trying to hide. The major thing that stood out to me about this figure was that its body looked almost like a shaking mass when it moved. It did not walk with visible legs as normal people would, but more shimmied back and forth as it moved in and out of the buildings like it was made of smoke. Imagine a little dancing tornado body with a visible head and shoulders. Anyways, I never felt threatened by this figure. I always felt as though it was a former resident of the asylum that was continuing his work at the farm. I plan to return with a voice recorder and a true investigator friend of mine to try and contact this individual one day, as I'm a little reluctant to attempt this on my own. The second night that we were there, we decided to walk through the building where this figure kept disappearing to. It felt as if all the hair on my body was standing up on end. Keep in mind, I'm a 28-year-old female dragging two guys along about my age who you think would be there to protect me. Nope. Most of the nights, the two nights we were there, I was the one always leading the pack and keeping them from running off on me when things got spooky. Another thing about that building is the lights that we would see glowing inside the windows as we walked lengthwise along the outside. It was obvious that they were not flashlights, as they seemed to glow and stand alone, slowly moving through the structure and changing colors from blue to green to white. We were unable to capture these balls of light on the camera. My friend was able to snap a picture of what appeared to be an arm reaching out the side of the doorway. Again, we walked through the building with flashlights to ensure nobody was there. We were alone. After exploring all the buildings, my group of three decided to walk through the trails of the recreation area to find the old hospital, which we found out later was inaccessible. Most of the trails are surrounded by fields and bushes with masses of trees here and there as you go. As we walked along the trails and through the trees where a frisbee golf course had been set up, we all started to see the feeling of being watched. As we traveled along and on foot, it intensified to the point where we were all looking over our shoulder and trying not to fall behind each other. I gave the guys pep talks to slow down their pace and to ignore the feeling, and as I was, we suddenly heard what sounded like a conversation going on to our right, out in the field. We stopped and listened. And I kid you not, as we all stood there staring out into the field that was lit up by the moon, trying to see anyone or anything in the 2-foot-tall grass, we heard what sounded like 2 or 3 sets of voices conversing with each other about 50 yards out. At first, we thought that maybe the voices were being carried from down the trail by another group of people, but it was hard for us to convince ourselves of that as we were alone at the park at nearly 2 a.m. and there was absolutely no wind that night. Unable to figure that one out, we decided to cut through a trail in the trees to circle back to the farm and visit the cemetery. As we were walking through the shadowy trail, we all immediately began to feel a sense of panic, and I noticed that we all began to almost jog at the same time. Again, I slowed us all down and told the other two not to feed into their fear and linked arms with them, with me in the middle, and told them just to keep with me. We kept walking and finally made it out of the trees and back to the main trail, and we all looked at each other and asked if anybody else had heard the footsteps following us. I reluctantly said that I had, as it had sounded as if there was a fourth person following us along the path not far behind. We'd all looked back once or twice and each time saw nothing. I learned later that this was the path that the patients had taken from the hospital to work on the farm so many years ago. The final part of my story ends in the cemetery, which sadly was mostly a large fenced-in lawn with very few crumbling stone markers. It's believed that most of the cemetery consists of unmarked graves, with hundreds of bodies laid underneath without markers or headstones. When we arrived in the cemetery, I had a weird desire to lay on my back in the grass and meditate. I think maybe it was my way of just quieting my thoughts and taking a moment of silence for those lying forgotten beneath me. After some time, my friends got cold and said they were ready to head back to the car and head home. One of them took my hands, important detail, and gently pulled me up. We walked 10 to 15 minutes back to the car. It was almost 3 a.m. at this point, and we were all drained from the exciting night. The next evening, I went to my parents' house for a Sunday family dinner. I was in the kitchen helping my parents cook when my sister suddenly stopped the conversation we were having and pulled up my t-shirt sleeves, exclaiming, "What on earth are those?" She sounded almost angry. I stepped away from the stove and asked, "What?" She then lifted my arm above my head and pointed, showing my parents a series of finger-like bruises on the bottom of my upper arm, near my armpit. My family immediately started asking me if I had been grabbed, and I knew right away that they were worried I had been mistreated. I could not really see the bruises, so I went over to the mirror in the dining room and lifted my arm to look, and sure enough, there were random bruises that did indeed look like fingerprints all over my upper arm. Thought I was unable to explain where they had come from. Keep in mind, I've been through physical abuse before and will never let anyone touch or grab me ever now. So the bruising absolutely made no sense to me either. My sister even tried to match her hands and fingers up with the bruises. We were unable to make the pattern match any sort of hold she put on me. To this day, I still don't know exactly where they came from, other than maybe someone who was there with us. Thank you guys for this podcast. I hope you enjoyed my story. I plan on sharing a spirit board story next, so I look forward to that one. Much love and stay spooky. Lexus.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Want a commercial-free experience of the show with access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories? Sign up at Apple Podcasts right now and try it for 3 days free. GhostPodcast.com or Patreon.com/RealGhostStories.